Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about what? Well, the Fountain of Truth about aging. And today we have a fun show, an insightful show, an educational show, really, possibly, because of some of our topics, a life-changing show with Professor Emeritus at Rhodes College, Mark W. Busey. And he is not just a professor of religion. He's been, of course, he's taught at Harvard, the University of Southern Maine, Harvard College, Harvard Divinity School, and now at Rhodes. But you'll say, you know, okay, I'm not a scholar. Well, you really are, because he is also one of the lecturers of the great courses. And I know so many of you, from information you give to me, take those courses. The great religions, Hinduism, religions of the axial age, Confucius, Buddha, Jesus, and Muhammad, and practicing mindfulness. Yeah, I know, I snuck up on you. We always talk about mindfulness and meditation, but now we're not only speaking with a professor who is involved with this in terms of teaching it, but also living it. So there's a lot to cover. And I want to begin with Professor Busey on the topic of happiness. And the reason for this is I was taking a lecture from him in New York City, and his topic was happiness. And, Professor, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Adrienne. It's good to be with you.
Well, let's talk about just that one little topic. It is probably the biggest topics in the world. It's even in our Constitution. Thomas Jefferson thought we should all pursue happiness. It was one of our rights. But you have a very specific definition of happiness and how it's looked at in different cultures. Just illuminate us a little bit on that.
Well, you're right that happiness is a very important topic, both in contemporary culture, but also historically. If you go to Google and just type in happiness, you're going to find lots of references and lots of books about how to find happiness. So I think people today, particularly in the West, are looking for happiness. And that's not surprising, because I think people from the beginning of the human experience have been looking for happiness. If we go back all the way to Aristotle and the Greek traditions, you find that philosophers were talking about happiness as the purpose or endpoint of life. Aristotle once said that happiness is the only thing that we seek for itself, that everything else that we do, we seek for the purpose of happiness. We seek wealth for happiness. We seek fame for happiness. We seek a good family for happiness. We don't seek happiness in order to have wealth, or happiness in order to have a good family, but it's the other way around, and happiness is the thing that we desire most of all. law. This according to Aristotle, but it's also an idea that's reflected throughout the world. The Dalai Lama himself recently says that happiness is the whole purpose of life, and that all beings desire to be happy. So it has this long history, but the problem is what we mean by the word happiness, and there are so many different connotations that are attached to that word. It's a very curious word, particularly in the Western tradition, because it relates to this word hap, H-A-P, which suggests kind of a randomness or something that's thrown up by fortune, like we would say happenstance or a happening. That's something that's kind of out of our control. And I think for a lot of our history, many people believe that our happiness was something that we could not really control. But that began to change, it particularly changed during the Enlightenment experience that informed the founding of this country. And so you rightly pointed to the idea of the pursuit of happiness, which seems to suggest that happiness is something that we can, first of all, pursue, and secondly, attain, and that it's therefore within our abilities to do that. But probably the real problem is that happiness in the Western tradition in particular is seen more as pleasure, that it's something that gives us a fun experience, a desirable experience, something that makes us glad. But that's not the way the word happiness has been used in certain other cultures, even in the Western culture. So when people like Aristotle talk about happiness, they're not talking simply about this kind of pleasure, but about what we would call flourishing, or a sense of tranquility or equanimity. It's something much richer and much deeper than what we in the West generally mean by the word happiness.
And, you know, that's where there's such a connection. There's a couple of things on my mind as you speak. One is the connection between aging and happiness. I mean, we are a show that reveals issues of aging, and our culture tells us that as we get older, we should get less happy because we become more frail, we get closer to death, and all the studies show that's exactly the opposite, that there is a trajectory in middle age where you're pretty miserable. And when you're even in high school and younger, you're even more miserable. And then something begins to happen as you age where you get that the real happiness that you're talking about, or the more permanent, not the transient feeling of, hey, that was a great movie, and right, I enjoyed my meal, but this tranquility, this equanimity seems to come with age, and it only diminishes again at very old age when we really are feeling ill, if we don't die healthy, which a lot of people do today, actually. They don't even have this diminution of their faculties. But with you, in your studies, you're talking about the pursuit of the more spiritual, the more permanent, the more status happiness.
Yes, that is exactly right. And I'm not surprised to hear about the study that you mentioned because I've experienced it in my own life. I think my 30s and 40s were really some of the toughest times for me. But as I've gotten older, in spite of the fact that I'm experiencing, you know, problems with health and other kinds of issues, I feel like my life is happier now than it's ever been. Now, part of that's because I would attribute it to the practice of mindfulness, which I've been doing for about 35 years, but also because I think as I've gotten older, I've begun to see that the kinds of things that the culture has told me will make me happy do not, in fact, make me happy, and I have subsequently begun to give those up. So I think most of us live under the illusion that happiness is a matter of acquiring things, that if we get the right person in our life, or if we have the right house, the right car, the right job, or even, you know, very positive kinds of experiences, that those things are going to make us happy. But what I find is that my happiness has really depended more on letting go of things or relinquishing things rather than acquiring things.
And you know what happens there, too? We, as we age, we want to actually dissolve some of the things we have. If we could, there's a great commercial. They're selling junk men, basically. They come to your house, they take stuff away. And and you pay them $800, they make your stuff disappear. And what the commercial is, and it's so wonderful, is a person, usually a woman, but not always, pointing at things. And as she points at each thing she doesn't want in her life anymore, the junk men take it away and they disappear. And she becomes so powerful, not from acquiring anything, but from getting rid of it. It's a beautiful Western concept of an Eastern idea of no longer having the attachment. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about this, the business of mindfulness, and I really mean it, the business of mindfulness today. Most of the people listening have either, they have a CD on meditation, they have a meditation group, they're doing breathing exercises, they're doing it at the gym. But, you know, we're speaking here with Professor Mark Musey, who is a longtime practitioner. He just said over 30 years himself in the world of mindfulness. He's been all over the Eastern world as a traveler, as a writer, as a lecturer. And he has a tremendous amount of insight into how you can bring this into your own life. It's more than just reading the book, maybe even throwing away the book. And we'll talk to him. You'll also know that if you go to the great courses, you can hear his course on practicing mindfulness. So when we come back, we'll speak more with the professor. Don't forget to go to our website, generationboldradio.com, and you'll be able to ask Adrian. And if there's a question you have for the professor, I will bring it to him. These are the kinds of shows that you've asked me to have on radio. It's the only place in the whole country where you can talk about aging successfully, and where we kind of change our own images of
you
aging.
May think that
we'll get more peaceful. Don't you go in.
Doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
If you missed open enrollment for Obamacare and are without health insurance, I have good news for you. Hello, this is Kerry Hall, America's healthcare advocate and the president of Benefits by Design. The federal government has reopened enrollment for Obamacare health insurance beginning March 15th, which means you can apply for health insurance with one of our licensed exchange certified agents who will walk you through the process to see if you qualify for a subsidy that could pay for all or part of your health insurance. And how much does using one of our licensed agents cost you? Nothing. That's right, it costs you nothing, and we're there to help you 24/7 after you enroll. So don't miss this second chance. Call 913-385-2224. That's 913-385-2224, or online at americashealthcareadvocate.com. Once again, that phone number, 913-385-2224, or online at americashealthcareadvocate.com.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate limescale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, he's happy and he's inappropriate for his age, and maybe that also describes our guest. Our guest is Professor Mark Musi, and he has been with us for just a few minutes, and in those few minutes we have been taken into the world of happiness and what we may want to look for in our own lives to become happier. He's Professor Emeritus at Rhodes College. He's particularly happy because he's on sabbatical and it's a beautiful day. And but he has taught at Harvard College, Harvard Divinity School, and he's probably taught you if you've taken any of his courses from the great courses, the great religions, Hinduism, religions of the Axial Age, Confucius, Buddhist, Jesus, Muhammad, and he has a book out. No surprise there. It's called The Four Wise Men. And we're going to talk about them in the context of meditation. If you want to read the professor's book, it's very easy. Do what you always do. Go to Amazon and buy the book. It's called The Four Wise Men. So those are four wise men whose names you know. Professor, tell us about the four wise men and how you kind of transitioned into your own life in the world of meditation and mindfulness and what it means to you.
Okay, I'll start with the four wise men. They are Confucius, Buddha, Jesus, and Muhammad. And I selected these four in part because of their great influence in the human spiritual experience. And I started the work just to reflect on what made them great and why we consider them exemplars for human beings. And so I did a study, and I first of all made it into one of the great courses, and so I've got 36 lectures on these guys, but then I went ahead and put that down as a book and did some study about the things that they had in common. Well, as you might expect, they didn't have a great deal in common. They all lived at different times and in different places. They all had different worldviews. So I asked myself, what is it that these four share, if anything? And they did share some things. I mean, one of the things that I thought was fascinating was that they all lived during crazy times, kind of like times we're living in, you know, during social and political turmoil. So that told me a lot. that these times often evoke creative thought, particularly among those of us who are more sensitive to the spiritual and philosophical dimensions of life. So that was the first thing. And then another thing, and this is what relates it to mindfulness, is that all four of these wise men took time to be alone. Now, this was especially true in the case of the Buddha. In fact, he was probably one of the individuals that we most associate with meditation because it's kind of through his teachings that we learn a lot about that, and he spent a lot of time meditating. People might be surprised to know that Confucius and Jesus and Muhammad also spent a great deal of time in solitude. Jesus would pray. Muhammad would pray through the night. So he would perform these vigils. And Confucius, whom Westerners don't know a great deal about, which I think is unfortunate, but he also spent a great deal of time alone, just reflecting on his life and trying to become a better person. So this is one of the things that unite all four individuals. Now, that's not to say they all meditated as we might think of that today, you know, sitting down somewhere with their legs folded. But they did take time just to be quiet and to live a life of simplicity where they could develop that sense of solitude. And they also shared one other feature, and that was the idea of compassion, of being concerned about the well-being of themselves and others. So even though they were all very different, lived during different times, had different worldviews and different beliefs, I think we could say that they were all very much concerned with what we today call mindfulness and compassion.
You know, in the world of aging, there's a real tension. And as you're talking to me, I'm feeling personally less and less tense. I'm thinking about four great names in our culture, in our religion, and in our history. And you're talking about them being quiet and the solitude and the things that we strive for. As you said in the first part of the show, equanimity. But as we age, some very strange things are happening. First of all, there is something called gerotranscendence, which is as you get older and older, you kind of leave your attachment to the world, and you see things as more universal. And that makes you calmer, the happiness we talked about, great equanimity. Oh, you get more spiritual, maybe not more religious, but more spiritual. You begin to love nature. At the same time, Professor, ask anybody how their retirement is, and they're going to tell you that they're busy. They're so busy, they don't know how to stop. Isn't that a funny thing that's going on now? And how can we stay on the path a little bit more of that spirituality, that equanimity, when we're almost driven to say, and not just pretend, but make ourselves busy in this Western culture, even after we say goodbye to our work?
That's very interesting because now that I'm on sabbatical and sort of moving into the retirement experience, I find myself probably busier than I was when I was working.
Yep.
And I think the reason for that is that I'm now doing the things I want to do. And so rather than doing the things I have to do, I'm spending time, for instance, doing some carpentry work, which I actually love a great deal. And my wife is trying to get me not to spend so much time doing that and to kind of calm down a little bit. So I certainly see that as definitely happening. But here's how I'd answer that question about our busyness. I don't think that mindfulness and busyness are necessarily incompatible with one another. As long as we approach our busyness with mindfulness. So mindfulness is not simply something that we do while we are being alone and meditating on a cushion. That may be a practice that many people want to adopt. But the whole goal of that practice is to bring the experience of mindfulness into everything that we do. So it's it's something that's supposed to pervade our whole life and not simply be an episodic event that we experience for a couple of minutes each day. And I'd say the same thing about solitude. Solitude, even though it's sort of related to the word solo, does not mean that we are necessarily alone. I've certainly had the experience, and I think a lot of people have, of feeling loneliness in the midst of a crowd. Right. And you can also practice solitude in the midst of a number of people. It doesn't necessarily that you mean that you are alone or separated or alienated from other people. So that, I think that's an important distinction.
Yeah, that's a wonderful insight, and insightfulness is really what you're all about, Professor. It was a wonderful lecture. When we come back, we're going to talk about a different kind of insight into Islam for a moment. Something very different for this show. I think at many levels, very necessary to our happiness. We'll be right back.
I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-563-0393. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-563-0393. 800-563-0393. That's 800-563-0393.
Biz Talk Radio.
Inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And I'm aware that some of you will listen to this archived on our website. Others of you will be going to our app, and others are listening live and maybe just tuned in. So I want to give you a little bit of a background of what we're talking about here, because the next part of our show will be very different, a great departure from what we usually discuss. I'm here with Professor Mark Musi. He is Professor Emeritus at Rhodes College. He is also someone whose lectures you may have already taken, because he has several of the great courses, and his courses deal with religion, mindfulness, comparative religion. And I first heard him on the topic of happiness in New York City. It was a live course. But I couldn't help asking him to also comment on the religion of Islam. And I'll explain why and what it has to do with aging. I was actually at a dinner last night with my best friend, such a good friend that we went to our 50th college reunion together. Imagine that. And she said she was afraid for her grandchildren. In the middle of eating the fish and drinking the Prosecco, that's what she said. She has two little grandkids. My grandchild is 11 weeks old. I'm not afraid. But I can see that there's a very, very different attitude, and it does affect the happiness of all of us who may have grown children but are very, very caring for very little ones. And I saw that in the works of Professor Musi, he has studied Islam, he's written about Islam. Mohammed is actually one of the four wise men of his latest book, which you can get on Amazon, and he knows a thing or two. So, Professor, with that introduction, what are we missing here? As I said in the break, most of us never heard of Islam or never thought about Islam, and then all of a sudden we associate it with terror, and there's nothing in between. What's the scoop there?
Well, that's a big topic and an important one. Yes, I think you're absolutely right that most of us, at least in this generation, have not thought much about Islam except in the context of terrorism. But that doesn't mean that the West has not been involved with a relationship with Islam. In fact, from the very beginning, it has, and it's been a contentious relationship many times, but in other times there's been a spirit of cooperation between Jews and Christians and Muslims that many people might be surprised to hear about. So let me tell you a little bit about the history of this relationship. So from the very beginning, I think Christians and Jews were very suspicious of Muhammad and his teachings, because it sounded a lot like what they knew in their own religions. And it's pretty clear, I think, that Muhammad was aware of Judaism and Christianity and tells a lot of the same stories that Jews and Christians tell. And if you read the Quran, you'll find that there are a lot of biblical references, even to Jesus and to Mary and to Moses. And there's a lot in the Quran that people would recognize, but they would see it somewhat differently because Muhammad had a different take on these biblical stories than Jews and Christians do. So almost from the beginning, I think Christians in particular saw Islam as being a competitor. And so part of this was because Christianity was in decline when Islam was in the ascendancy, and there were some political issues involved. And one of the interesting things is that Christians did not know what to do with Muhammad. How was it that this person could be telling these stories about Jesus and Mary, and yet not seeing Jesus as being the incarnation of God and what was going on here? And an idea arose in the Middle Ages that was probably well accepted, I think, among Christians in particular, that Muhammad was, in fact, a Christian, that he grew up as a Christian, that he was a Christian official, may have been a bishop, and wanted to become pope. And when he couldn't be pope, he went to Arabia and told his own version of the Christian and Jewish traditions and sort of created his own religion where he could be pope. Now, that idea sort of dominated medieval Christianity for a long time. And so it was part of what fueled this contentiousness between Christians and Muslims. But,
so
you know,
as Islam began... Professor, what are we talking about here? You said Middle Ages, but are we talking about 1200? Around what time are we speaking here?
Oh, that's a good question. So Islam begins to emerge in the 7th century. And then we're talking about from about the 7th century to... Oh, I'd say the 14th, 15th century, something like that. So
they
it was a long.
They didn't have no competition clauses then, so he couldn't have.
Right,
he couldn't
exactly.
Take the sign and no compete. So now we've set up a political or, let's say, a more institutional animosity, as opposed to a personal animosity, which perhaps
right.
it grew into.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right. So what I think one thing that we need to recognize is that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam really probably share a lot more than they differ. They all have differences, of course, in practice and beliefs, but there is so much that they hold in common, particularly when you look at them with respect to something like Hinduism or Buddhism. So that's one thing to keep in mind. And it's also important to remember that there have been lots of times when Jews, Christians, and Muslims have gotten along. I was just in Spain a couple of weeks ago in Andalusia, and this was one of the locations that was popular with Christians, Jews, and Muslims in terms of their cooperation with one another. So they built a civilization, they shared ideas, they borrowed from one another, and apparently got along very well. This in the late Middle Ages. So it kind of represents at least a model for a different way of thinking about the relationship between Jews, Christians, and Muslims.
You know, I'm going to get so Western on you and so lowbrow. One of my favorite rides is in Disney, in Epcot, and you go through the history of the world. And in the very beginning, you've got cavemen and all this, and then all of a sudden, you have monks and you have Jewish scholars and Islamic scholars all sitting around. Of course, they're all automatons, you know, and they're all learning and studying from scrolls. And
right.
the theme there is, in this kind of babyish, you know, theme park way, how much they work together to create what we would call today modern civilization. Mostly from
right.
the spoken and written word, philosophy, and so on, sharing medicine discoveries together. And it does still happen, of course, today. But it's very interesting to note from your books, from your writing, that the almost the other, and we're going to get back to happiness now, of the four wise men is Buddha. Where, and I've had Hindu friends say to me, the Judeo-Christian Islamic religion, in one word, as if that's one word to them.
Yeah.
Because they don't see the difference. They have a lot of trouble distinguishing. What are you talking about? What's going on here? They can't see. It's like such a de minimis
thing. They can't see the differences, yeah.
They can't see the difference. And so, there I go back to that with you as a scholar, as one of the leading scholars in this field. When you look at Buddhism and you relate it to the ability to be happy, and this is a loaded question, I'll tell you that right now. Is it easier or more likely that you'll be happy if you take on Eastern thinking than Western thinking?
Oh, goodness gracious. That is a tough question to answer. I would think it would depend a lot on how you take it on. Now, certainly, you know, a lot of people in the West, particularly in the Christian tradition, kind of take on their religion or their spirituality in kind of a nominal way, kind of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called the cheap grace approach. That is, they're expecting Jesus to save them and that their happiness will come at the end of this life when they go to heaven. And so that helps them kind of endure what might be a miserable life, might be a happy life, but their true happiness comes at the end of life, in fact, during their death, so when they go to heaven. But Buddhism believes you can be happy now, and you don't have to wait to the end of your life. And the story of the Buddha is about an individual who found permanent happiness, not just this episodic happiness, not just the gladness that we experience ever
you
now and then.
We're going to take a little bit of a break. We knew this was going to happen going into our fourth segment. There's going to be some surprise. Don't you go away.
I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. Unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-563-0393. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-563-0393. 800-563-0393. That's 800-563-0393.
Biz Talk Radio.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. If people ask me, why do I do this radio show? This is why I do this radio show. I absolutely love speaking to people who are experts in their field, like Professor Mark Musey. In his case, it is comparative religion, Eastern religion, meditation. He's made quite a difference. One of the things that we will ask him about a little later in the end is this creation of the Compassionate Campus Initiative at Rhodes College. I don't want to leave our little time together, Professor, without saying a word about that.
Okay.
But where we left off a few moments ago was that we are trying to stay with this happiness on Earth, as the Buddha would say, not waiting for another world. Wouldn't be bad if it was there, too. That's okay, too. But let's have both if we can. And I made you laugh by saying that a lot of baby boomers, and those are the people listening to the show, think they invented meditation. Why? Because they took a pilgrimage to Kathmandu when they were 18, and they wore tie-dye clothes, and they did transcendental meditation. And their parents, who are now in their 90s, said it's a fad. But it's not a fad. There's a lot of meditation groups, books, even in your gym. I don't think there's a gym in this country now that doesn't have a meditation class, we'll say. Now, are we doing it the way that it could work to bring us happiness? Are we doing it very so differently from the Eastern culture that it's just another, you know, phony baloney way of selling yoga mats? Or is there something here that's going to stick? That's what I would like
to say. Okay, that's a very good question. And So let me first of all address the idea that the boomers invented meditation. That's not true. It's been part of the human experience for at least 4,000 years. I mean, we have evidence, physical evidence, that people were meditating 4,000 years ago. There are images that were found that show people in this meditative posture. So it's been around for a long time, in different forms, of course. So it's kind of hard, I think, for us to say that the way it's practiced today was exactly the way that the Buddha practiced it. But I think, you know, in the main, sitting still, watching the breath, paying attention, these are the sorts of things that the Buddha and other of the ancient meditators taught. So to that degree, I think we're doing it the right way. But here's the thing that I have with the way meditation has sort of begun to develop in, the last decade, maybe the last two decades, is that it has been medicalized and psychologized and individualized, and it has been abstracted from its richer context. So when the Buddha taught meditation, he taught it as one of eight kinds of practices. He called it the Eightfold Path. He said there's a way to happiness or nirvana, and you get there by following this Eightfold Path. Well, meditation is just one aspect of that. And what's happening today is that when you go to a gym or go take a meditation course, they're leaving out the other seven elements that include things like proper speech or proper action, things that we would consider ethics, basically, a concern with other people. And so what we're trying to do, I think, is to teach meditation as just an individual way of relaxation. So that's what I mean when I say we've medicalized it or make it stress reduction. That's kind of psychologizing it, making it a way for us just to get along in a stressful world that we live in. Now, that's great. I mean, that's a good thing to do. It is a stressful world, and we do need to kind of abstract ourselves from that. But the Buddha and all those other wise individuals from the ancient world taught us that we have to be concerned about the other person, and we have to watch what we say, and we have to attend to how we live our lives. And it's much more than simply sitting down on a cushion and trying to get calm. That's important, to be sure, but it's not the only thing.
You know, this is very instructive. I think we're all looking for something more to do to improve. That is a very Western thing, and it's certainly not a calming thing. It's not a meditative thing. But I did forget about the other six. I mean, I was a Oriental, they called it in Brooklyn, Oriental philosophy major. That's what they called it then.
Oh, really?
And political science minor. And the fact is that, and they included Greece in the Orient, which maybe, you know, they could have had a map, but who am I to say? However, the fact was that there were the other six, and they are ethical, and they are compassion, and they are right speech, and they are right action. And the trouble is that those are very hard things to do. They're much harder than sitting by yourself.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Very odd stuff. And I would wager that a lot of those things are the things that overlap in Islam and Judaism and Christianity. This do unto others stuff is really difficult, and it seems to come up all the time. But I am motivated. I am personally motivated to go and relook at those others and see where I might be missing the mark. And I'm not sure I'll ever make the mark. But that's what successful aging to me actually should be about. And that is expanding your horizons for yourself, not diminishing your horizons for yourself, which is what the world tries to force you into because of our cultural images of aging. And many people say, oh, in the East, they respect elders more. Well, take a closer look. We seem to be all getting to be in the same boat. And that is making our life atrophied and smaller instead of bigger. So how can you make it bigger when you're not in the corporate ladder and you're not doing that anymore? By elevating your own self. And I did get the Four Wise Men. I thought it was terrific. I will admit, I'm slowly reading it because I want it to be something that makes a difference. And when I hear you, Professor, you can make a difference, and you do, in that, and not just in the carpentry, but in the way you craft, in the way you craft people's minds. So I hope that there'll be yet another great course or another book that takes what you know in this academic and historical context to our own lives and what we can do with it, because it is a lot to extrapolate from your writing. So I thank you so much for being with us. It's just been such a pleasure. And I hope that, once again, you'll be on again for some of the more in-depth things. And for all those listening, you know what I'm going to say. Get out there, kids, and make it happen.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.